This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're back with us here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9 with me, Arv, and Christine. We're asking you, would you ever use or host a virtual co-working space? Why or why not? Would you find it productive? The options that you have over on Twitter are these.
Yes, I'd host one. Yes, I'd use one. No, prefer in real life co-working. And no, I like working alone. 39% for working alone, 29% for in real life, 17% for they would use one, and 14% for they'd host one.
Most people then clearly like working alone here. Mm. The pollsters here, as you will. Nothing over on Instagram to update of note. Arv, why don't you just get on with your story and talk to us about building positive feedback, positive feedback culture remotely.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken about this slightly before. Like, it's difficult for employers and managers to sort of know what their employees are feeling or what they need, especially when working remotely. And this is an interesting piece from Fast Company that sort of outlines those concerns and also what they can do to make remote working more positive and more sort of like interactive with one another. Mm. It starts out by saying that millions of people have already been vaccinated, but research shows that remote work is here to stay, it's not going anywhere. A survey with 4,700 skilled knowledge workers funded by Slack revealed that only 12% want to return to the office full-time, and 72% would prefer a hybrid model that combines work and combines home and office work. I think that's like across the board, pretty good like indication. So this person who wrote this is also an entrepreneur. It's Atikin Tank, who also has a startup. And he says that my goal was to ensure our teams are equipped to succeed and thrive regardless of where or how they're working. So he breaks it down into four important sort of brackets. One is establish your vision. So working from home helped many of us navigate the crisis. But what do you want in the long term? So maybe it's higher productivity, cheaper office space, less travel, better morale, or higher retention rates. Your vision will drive the changes required to realize it. Thinking and planning from the future back allows you to fully articulate what you hope to achieve with your new work system. So it's not, working from home is not temporary anymore. It's not like that thing we do to wait for the pandemic to subside. It's the thing, and it might be the thing for like a long, long time.
Yeah.
Second, he says, revisit your organization system. So team members will continue to set their own schedules as long as they collaborate effectively with their small multifunctional teams. You might also want to revisit staff wellness programs or recalibrate benefits. So this is interesting. Gyms may no longer be essential, especially if it's tied to your workspace. You could give your employees a fitness stipend to use for new sneakers, physiotherapy sessions, or workout equipment. Even staff who do return to the office or have a hybrid model could benefit from a bigger choice in their wellness policies. So instead of like giving them, you know, a membership card at gym, buy them sneakers to go running,
right?
Or like running shoes and stuff. Third thing, assess your tools. Ask your employees what's working, what's not. Do they need a hardware stipend or help with their Wi-Fi bill, which I think is good. Many companies face tight budgets, but some places might have some budget brackets might have been unspent in 2020, and the funds could be reallocated to do these kinds of things. So paying for people's internet, paying for their phone bills, their Wi-Fi bills and stuff. Business and communication software also sort of like ripe for reevaluation. So from secure messaging tools to video conferencing to virtual IT support, remote work demands unique tools. So send a survey asking employees what they rely on and what could be decommissioned or what the company doesn't need anymore. And then the fourth one, I think this is just like, you know, it's what everyone knows, just be empathetic to diverse needs. So consider what staff need to manage shifting personal responsibilities. Maybe you want to reimburse childcare costs or introduce flexible leave for caregivers. And remember that no two families look alike. So the pandemic showed us that remote working has real benefits, but it has to work equally for everyone. Mm. And I guess it's mainly about just like tweaking your benefit system to cater to different people now that they're working from the house. Because instead of like an office that is the same, they're all working from different quote-unquote offices. So your benefits and how you sort of like reimburse them or how you take care of them can't be the same as when they're working from home.
For sure. For people like myself and you and Christine, little things like for Christine, a nice beanbag that she can sit on to work from home might be nice. You know, for you or me, like an ergonomic chair that all around the same kind of price might be useful, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Little things that the money has been saved by not using the office so much that could be migrated into doing things like that, providing these little details and whatnot. And I know companies are doing this. You know, we look at companies like Salesforce, which we just read about the other day, that have effectively gone on to say to their staff, we're going to give you the choice how you want to work entirely. You know, if you want to come back to the office, great. If you don't, that's fine. If you want a hybrid model, also fine. And you're not made to feel guilty about choosing either one of these things, you know. And the idea of suggesting to staff members, oh, maybe you want a pair of sneakers, or maybe you want to spend that money on other exercise equipment, is a great idea, you know, because that way the staff is looking back at the managers and the company and saying, well, they actually do care about what we think and what we want and perhaps what we need, right?
Mm-hmm. It's also, you know how like everyone's, like, we spoke about Zoom and like virtual calls so many times. Simple things like, let's say everyone who gets on a virtual call, like we use headphones. We are used to using headphones and we deal with sound and stuff on like a daily basis. But if anyone jumps on Zoom, more often than not, you get echo, you get feedback because people usually use their laptop mics and they use their laptop speakers. Mm-hmm. So if companies are depending on like Zoom calls or virtual calls, something as simple as buying a pair of headphones or a pair of earphones.
Or a directional mic, a very cheap directional mic.
Exactly. And and just passing it on to all the employees so everyone's plugged in when they're on Zoom. So it makes it sort of easier for everyone to understand what everyone else is saying. You know what I mean?
And you're not getting that, can you hear me yet? Can you hear me yet? Mm-hmm. Can you hear me yet?
And that same thing echoing like throughout the whole call,
Simple things, right?
Simple things, yeah.
All right, we're going to have to wrap up. Folks, thanks for taking part in the polls today. The final results are pretty much the same as they were when Arv told us no more than 5 minutes ago. We're around 40% of you saying, no, you like to work alone. 29% of you roughly saying, what's that? No, prefer to... I prefer in real life
working. Co-working.
See, I can't see that. I'm getting old, Arv. The second one, 16.9%. Yes, I'd use one. Mm-hmm. And then 13.8%. Yes, I'd host one. Thanks for all that. Chris, final numbers on Instagram?
So one more response from the Calvin TYM who says, I need interaction because my house and surroundings are really quiet. Well, you can always put us on.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, on the BFM app, we have podcasts that you can put on in the background while you work. But in regards to would you ever use or host a virtual co-working space, we've got yes at 49% and no at 51%.
All based on this story?
All based on the story of a study broadcasting, also known as, I will get the word really quickly while I scroll up all the way in the Google Doc.
Gongbang.
Gongbang.
There you go. Story number two was about how to find the best spot in your house to be productive. Essentially, you've probably heard it a million times before, but we're going to reiterate it. Find somewhere that's less distracting, preferably with some natural light, not facing a wall. Mm-hmm. Simple as that.
And we finished with building positive feedback culture remotely.
That's all the time we have for today. If you missed any part of the show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally download your podcast from, or you can use the BFM app to stream it at your leisure. That's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Get us on Spotify and head over to the website if you'd like to do that. That's bfm.my. Coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, it's the Breakfast Grill replay with Tan Sri Sidek Hassan, the chairman of EAIC, the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission, for a commission in charge of monitoring transparency and accountability across 21 government agencies. The Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission doesn't have enforcement capabilities of their own. Does that make them a toothless tiger? EAIC's new chairman, Tan Sri Sidek Hassan, talks to The Morning Run about the commission's effectiveness and tackling corruption. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. On behalf of myself, Arvin and Christine, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Oh, what are we talking about tomorrow? Revenge, bedtime, procrastination. Mm-hmm. Want to know what that is? Tune in tomorrow at noon here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.